Did you hear the music when I was muted or no?
Yeah, I heard it fine.
Okay, perfect. I just wanted to make sure I had all my settings ready. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this summer-like Sunday. On this Memorial Day weekend, when it finally starts to feel like summer and we're starting to push our boundaries of what it means to live in this world with COVID and continue to be social, physically distant, but still get out and have some fun. I do want to make a statement first, a reminder of why we're still meeting online when everything else around us is opening up. And first and foremost, as a United Church of Christ denomination, we are a denomination, we are a church that believes in science as much as faith. We hold our science and faith together. And we listen and we trust medical experts. And so when our national medical experts are telling us, hey, we still want to maintain social distance. We still want to keep people at home as much as possible. Then we're listening. We're continuing to find new ways to be church, because the church never closed. The church never will close. We, the people, are the church. And when we start And when we worry more about the building than the people, then we're not being church. And so we're continuing to meet online, and we're continuing to be the church. We're continuing to love our neighbors, because ultimately what this is about protecting our neighbors. Those who are at risk and those who could possibly maybe will always be okay, but if someone else gets it from us, it's going to be harder on them. And so we do this for all of our neighbors. And also it's an issue of stewardship, of respecting one another's boundaries and caring for one another and respecting the idea that physical distancing has worked and will keep the curve flattened and that we need to continue to do so. As I've said throughout the Easter season, the first church people met in rooms, in houses, and in some ways, this Easter of being isolated has been more authentic than any Easter season we've had before. And so I encourage you to find the love and the joy amidst the frustration of what church looks like right now. And remember, again, that this doing a meeting on Zoom, even with all the problems that we have sometimes, even though we can't physically be present, we are still being the church. And I give thanks for your patience and the support you've offered and your support by coming and attending and comments on Facebook and emails. And I thank you for continuing to come together to figure out ways to be church that are new and different. And thank you for myself, from the church leaders. And we'll continue to do this as long as we need to. As the weather clears up, maybe we'll start moving outside once in a while, but always, always, always physical distancing and masks. Please wear your masks. So Jack, if you have any other announcements, we'll switch to you.
Thank you. Just very quickly, be on the lookout. We are going to be putting out a newsletter here very soon, so we'll get you some updates that way. Keep checking our website, check on Facebook, and also we will be having a council meeting this week. We're going to try to make a number of important decisions about how we can reopen, how we can continue to provide services to our congregation and to the community. We don't want you to be alone, but we also want you to be safe. I would love to have you here in the sanctuary with me today. Terry and I are here. I come in just to open things up and read some scripture and join you for this. And I'm here during the week several times doing various odd jobs. It's a joy to be in the facility, but that's not all the church is about. We pray for you. Hopefully, you pray for us. We want to make sure everyone is safe. We have an aging population in our church. That's just the facts. And they are particularly vulnerable to this issue. We want to make sure we do everything possible to protect them. I mean, it's not general information, but I have cancer. It's in a very manageable stage, but I appreciate it when people wear masks. It protects me, and I appreciate that they are willing to do that, and I'm willing to do that for them. We also have a new pastor coming in a few weeks whose wife is due to have a baby in July. We definitely want to keep that family safe. So, we will try to make arrangements to have services, outdoors, parking lot services, and at some point in the sanctuary when we can work it out. Be patient with us, pray for us, and we will continue to keep you in our prayers that all are safe. Thank you.
Thanks. And with that, let us take a deep breath. I do want we give thanks to Perry, who continues to record our songs for us so that we can play them. And thanks to Jim, who sets these meetings up, makes sure they're recorded, and makes sure they get on Facebook and YouTube. And we give thanks for them as well. And so, as always, I encourage you to read and sing along in your homes. You don't have to worry about being on the video or so. Belt it out loud as you want. And with that, let us take a deep breath, let it out, light a candle if you have one near, and enter into worship.
Our call to worship. Your space was prepared for you.
In this time, you are where you need to be.
Embrace the spirit sent by God.
In our quarantine dwellings.
Receive the gift of refuge, knowing that God is near.
Do not let your hearts be troubled.
Release the worry and abide in God.
And now we'll sing our first song, Enter, Rejoice, and Come In. And now, if you'll join me in our invocation prayer, as soon as I can pull it up here. Divine Architect, as we abide in our homes, we wonder what will come next. We grieve what we have left behind, and we mourn the life we are no longer living. Fill us with a new spirit that we can vision a future filled with joy. May we spend this time rejoicing in the power of divine hope, knowing that your presence is forever with us, God. Amen.
Our first scripture reading comes from Acts 1, verses 6 through 14. As a result, those who had gathered together asked Jesus, "Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now?" Jesus replied, "It isn't for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has set by his own authority. Rather, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." After Jesus said these things, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going away, and as they were staring toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood next to them. They said, "Galileans, why are you standing here looking toward heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way that you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they entered the city, they went to the upstairs room where they were staying: Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, Alphaeus' son, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, James' son. All were united in their devotion to prayer, along with some women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers.
Our second scripture today comes from John chapter 17, verses 1 through 11. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. The word of God for the people of God. And let us sing Blessed Assurance. We will be singing all of the verses. And join us as soon as I can pull it up here. Okay. Switch around some different windows, make sure we're all set up. Okay. I just have to share a note. I don't know if anyone saw or watches Saturday Night Live, but there's a clip going around about church and Zoom meetings. They aired it last week, but they were on Mother's Day. I just saw it last night, and it's quite funny, and it's a reminder of why we do mute everyone to keep it from all the sounds, and at the same time, as a pastor, to not have any type of feedback when giving the sermon. It's definitely makes it harder, but as I said at the beginning, it's all worth it. We're doing this for the greater good, so it requires some patience, but we'll all be okay. We'll all be the better for it. Okay. Well, believe it or not, we've made it to the last Sunday of Easter. We've made it through Easter. We started this before Easter, and now here we are at the end of Easter, waiting to go move on from the resurrection, move on to Pentecost and the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a transition. And much like this time is a time of transition, just in general, our weather's changed. It feels like summer. We've jumped from spring to summer very quickly. It is a time of graduation. It's graduation different than we've ever done it before, but schools and colleges and the world and communities are coming together to still honor this time of transition. The church itself is getting ready to move into a new time with a new pastor, a new family. Transitions can be exciting and fun, or they can be hard and frustrating. But the thing about transitions that are important is that it's a time when we look backward to memories and forward to new adventures. It's a time and space where it's a both and moment, I like to call it. It's a when we are both holding our memories and our excitement and thoughts of the future, when the past and the future come together. It is a time when we're trying to figure out how we'll move forward, when we'll move forward. And in our scripture today, Jesus and the disciples are also in transition. And so to help the disciples move forward, Jesus provides in John what is known as the farewell discourse. The beginning of the discourse was a couple weeks ago, was part of scripture. And it focused on a reminder of the tools we have to share God's word and love even without Jesus present. Today is the end of the discourse, where Jesus is praying for all, assuring the disciples and us today that even though we're torn between the realities of this world and the love of God's kingdom, God will be present, keeping the message of Jesus alive within us. God will be with us, even though we're torn between the realities of our past and the excitement of the future, even though we're maybe frustrated in this time of transition, love is still present. Jesus is still present. Now, this prayer at the end is kind of hard to listen to. I don't know about you, but it definitely is for me. And John in general can be really wordy. This one in particular has I and them and me and you, we, they, so many pronouns and interconnections that for me listening, and maybe you too, it's confusing trying to keep track of who are we praying for, who are we responsible to, what is Jesus saying? And when I initially first started coming upon this text in the lectionary, it's really tempted to figure out a way not to preach it, to just decide it's too hard, doesn't pertain to us, I'm just going to skip over it. But when we skip over it, we always miss something. And so today, I hope we can maybe clear it up a little for you. The disciples and us listening today are actually the central focus of the prayer. And that's important. That's a good message. That's a message we don't want to skip over. Jesus is praying on behalf of the disciples and us, not for himself. And so we want to listen and try to understand what this prayer means for us. When I was thinking about a way of looking at this prayer, the thought that came to mind was the bumper sticker that says, "No God, no peace. No God, no peace." Maybe some of you have seen it on other cars or have one of your own. That's K-N-O-W, no God, K-N-O-W, no peace, followed by N-O, God, N-O, peace. Jesus reveals and reminds us in this prayer in John that his primary role on earth is for us to get to know God. In fact, it's so important for us to know God that in verse 3, Jesus defines eternal life as having knowledge of God. For John and the community reading his gospel, eternal life is possible in the present reality, available immediately to anyone who believes in Jesus and God. Available to anyone who has knowledge of God and knows God. Now, knowing God isn't just about us having a one-on-one relationship with Jesus. Rather, Jesus' life and ministry has up to this point has been teaching us that knowing God involves action and relationship, not just with God, but the entire world. As Nancy J. Ramsey, Dean at Bright Divinity School, says, knowing God is an experience that draws believers into a new reality in which the new order that will be shaped eternally by God's vision for love and justice and service can also be realized in relationships and communities now. Knowing God will be evident in our obedience to love, the singular commandment of this gospel. I like to think that this is where the K-N-O-W, no peace part comes in. When we strive for justice, service, and love our enemies, we are striving for eternal peace here on earth. And I'm not talking about just the quiet peace, but a peace of knowing that everyone has food, knowing that everyone is being protected. In this age of COVID, knowing God and knowing peace is wearing masks and staying physically distant. But the peace is knowing that we have flattened the curve and we are protecting one another. Now, granted, just because we know God and know peace doesn't guarantee that peace is always in our lives. COVID isn't very peaceful at the same time. But as we look at the prayer in John, Jesus didn't pray for us to be rescued from suffering or for God to allow us to avoid suffering and death. But Jesus prays for our protection in the form of us coming together in love in his name. Knowing God means gathering in a community of believers where we become one with God, one with Christ, and one with each other in the same way Jesus and God are one. We can gather as a community online. We can gather as a community 6 feet apart with masks on in a parking lot. We can gather as a community over the phone. We can gather as a community driving by in cars. We are community. We need each other to survive and thrive and continue to share the message of Jesus's life and teachings. We need to gather together, not physically necessarily, but we still need to gather together to be the body of Christ. Living in unity is a lot harder than it sounds, which our prayer asks us to live in unity at the end. And he makes it sound so pretty, but it is a lot harder than it sounds because we have problems living in unity just with Christianity. We can't even live in unity in our denominations, let alone with other religions. But if we expand our vision of what unity means beyond total agreement, we expand what it means to be one with God and to know God. The key in this text in John is that Jesus is defining living as one, living in unity by how he and God are one. A relationship that has movement and interplay. A relationship where diversity and struggle exist, yet all work out together for a mutual unconditional love for one another. It is this unity and communal relationship that gives us the promise and possibility of peace here on earth. We can come together in the midst of crisis, maybe not with exactly the same beliefs, yet if we still have a same goal, if we come together with unconditional love, we can work together. We can create peace here on earth. By knowing God, we not only get to experience peace, we know how to share it with others. We know peace. We can share peace. Now, the second half of this bumper sticker is N-O God, N-O peace. And I like to think that it refers to us humans and our thoughts. We have a tendency to put aside our relationship with God at times, to put aside God's vision for the world. And when we do this, when we put our wants above others, the possibility of peace goes away because someone is being left out of the relationship. Saying no can be so much easier than saying yes to God's way. Saying yes, seeking unity with Jesus and God means we could end up in unfamiliar and unpopular places. And uncomfortable places. In this age of COVID, seeking unity with Jesus and God means that if we are physically able to, wearing a mask is important, even if you're the only one. Standing side by side with prisoners, human trafficking victims, people of color, others living on the margin is how we say yes to God and Jesus, and it's how we seek unity. It's unfamiliar and uncomfortable. But in doing so, it can mean opening ourselves up to change, to new forms of love and forgiveness, new relationships and new understandings of God, all of which can be scary and have no guaranteed outcome. But if we choose to say no to God, even though it may seem more peaceful and at the time, more comfortable. It doesn't lead to God's sense of a just peace. Now, the hope, though, in all of this is that even when we say no to God, God never says no to us. God is present with the disciples and with us, calling us back to relationship, reminding us to love everyone unconditionally. And when we go from saying no to God to choosing to know God, God is there welcoming us back with abundant grace. This is the blessed assurance of not only Jesus' prayer, but of the resurrection. And so in this time of transition, let us remember the power of being in relationship with one another. For it is in the relationship, whether physical or social, is in the relationship, the process of living by Jesus' example and uniting in unconditional love, that we come to know God, to know peace, and open up the possibility of eternal life here on earth. May it be so. Amen. And with that, as I switch back, we enter into a time of prayer. We did lift up some prayers before we started recording, so I'm not going to mention those beforehand. We do want to keep those private. If there are any other prayers that people are okay with being recorded, go ahead and lift those up now in the chat, or we can unmute if we have any. Take a couple seconds. Do want to continue to lift up our healthcare workers and those on the front lines. We lift up those who are making the decisions, making the tough decisions about how do we social distance and honor one another. We also lift up those who are in the battle with COVID, those who have lost someone to COVID. Those who have lost people to other diseases and have not been able to be with them, with friends and family in this time. We lift up prayers, thank you, for those who are opening their businesses and those choosing not to. It is a tough decision. If you'll please join me in a time of prayer. Dear, loving, assuring God, we thank you for your message, your example of relationship. We give thanks for your love, your unconditional love, and your unconditional grace and forgiveness. We give thanks for your presence with us in the midst of surgeries, in the midst of sickness, We ask that you be with those who mourn, but have to mourn from a distance. We ask that you be with those who feel as if they are alone, to remind them that you are there and they are never alone. We lift up our healthcare workers, our first responders, as they continue to work for the betterment of the community and of the world. We give thanks and continue prayers for the scientists who are collecting data and doing the research to help us get through this. Be with those who have to make the heavy decisions of whether to stay open, whether to close. Help us to be the best that we can be so that we can know, K-N-O-W, know your love, your peace, that we can know you. Be with us and help us to share that peace and love with others. In this time, we have welcomed crutches, turned away from you, O God. Welcome crutches to get us through loneliness and uncertainty, and forgotten that you are the ultimate sense of hope. Help us to return to you, invest our trust in you, so that we can adopt the practice of sharing love and gratitude in our daily lives. And so we pray the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we move into this time of offering, I want to once again invite you to keep mailing in offering envelopes or sending them. We do have the digital options available through the website, and the link is on your program. The link is also, Jim has shared it in our Zoom chat, and we can always put it up again on Facebook. We give thanks for those who have. And if you'll join me in a reflection on giving. So I'll say part of it, and then we'll say a prayer in the spirit of thanksgiving together. In God, we seek our refuge. In our divine architect, we find our wisdom. Even in this season of known unknown, God is caring for us. And we are called to give what we have to care for our church, our community, and our world. We are nudged to give what we can to share the good news of God's unconditional and steadfast love for each of us. In a spirit of thanksgiving, we pray together. Holy God, divine architect, in your presence, we find a peaceful refuge. In your presence, we are called to keep your commandments, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Give us the courage and strength to carry your light into our communities and the world with the talents, time, and treasures you have bestowed upon us. We pray in the name of Jesus the Christ, our compass in unsure times. Amen. Sorry about that, Jack. I forgot that I had originally asked you to say that. Again, we give thanks. Let us sing our closing hymn that we've sung it a lot. I've tried to keep it in the worship, A, because sometimes it's easier when we're stressed and life is crazy to have something that we can come back to again and again. And B, God be with you till we meet again is so relevant in this day and age when we haven't seen each other physically in a while. So let us sing. And let me pull it up. God be with you. Till we meet again, whether in person or on Zoom. God be with you in the weeks to come, that you may KNO God and KNOW no peace. No God, no peace in the weeks to come until we meet again. Go in peace and love. Amen. And I forgot to stop sharing during that, but that's okay. Let's set it up again for our wonderful benediction from Perry. We'll listen to